Oh, ho, ho. Playing the track? Lipstick Perfect. You got yourself together, girl. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
That's right.
In a diamond now, wow. Shaking off that bitterness. It took some time. Y'all know it's gonna take some time. Got the witness.
Ready for the hook?
So criminal, here I come. Yeah, coming here to rock you. Yeah, right. Will always be your. Oh, no, no, no.
That's right.
Another left, baby.
That is the
That's
voice
right.
of Constantine Maroulas co-hosting The Jake Brown Show this week. Jamming to open the show. That is your somewhat new song from last year, Here I Come, with jams. I mean, it's already almost the end of 2017. This year has flown by. Constantine Maroulas, you remember from American Idol Season 4?
That's right.
From Rock of Ages. He'll be in a new off-Broadway show called Bulldozer.
That's right.
Well, you'll play Robert Moses, which is also the name of a beach in Long Island. I wasn't sure if you were aware. Is that him?
Of course that's him.
You're playing the
it's
guy
no
from the beach.
It's no coincidence. I'm the guy from the beach. He also happened to be like one of the most impactful, you know, New Yorkers of all time, particularly the 20th century. A guy created urban renewal, basically the whole bridge and tunnel system, the modern metropolis that
we
frequent the streets of on a daily basis. He's the man, basically. Him and Rockefeller were broskies, had a bromance for decades, and essentially the two of them, you know, they built this place that we know, and particularly in the outer boroughs. He's a fascinating man, most powerful man in New York as, you know, an unelected official. Tragic ending, you know, and it's going to be a very cool
Don't
show.
Give it away yet. No, spoiler.
Not yet. Come
spoilers,
see it.
Spoilers!
Spoiler, spoiler, he dies!
What theaters is it?
It's off Broadway.
Your arm is gonna fall. You're not gonna be able to perform with your arm. You might have to. We need to find something for you to lean it up again. Use it on this fucking Emmy award or whatever.
That's a good Emmy. Not yours. Wait, is it?
It's not an Emmy award. I don't know. What it is. It's like a Taz award for something.
All right, we're good. We're gonna probably do this. Why doesn't everyone just go over to Jake's page and watch the show, because I'm kind of overdoing this. I love you guys. Check it out later. We'll post the whole thing. All right, bye.
All right. The phone, it gets
we'll
annoying.
Cut that part out. Like,
no, we don't need to. We just go raw here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that
it's all about this.
It's
for
all
you.
About this.
Yeah,
right here.
The simulcast. I got you.
The show is coming into the city. What's the theater? Give all the details.
Well, go to bulldozerthemusical.com or constantinemaroulas.com. It's at the theater at St. Clement's. It's beautiful Gothic church off Broadway, literally right in the Midtown Theater District. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing. We start performances November 24th, so just in a few weeks from now. Very cool, intimate, rock and roll story in a way. It's a, you know, an interesting New York story that we're telling in a rock and roll fashion. That's what we're basically doing. Let me turn that off over there. Nice. And but we're excited, man. New work, you know, that's what I love. I'm passionate about new stuff. Sports and new musical theater. That's my life.
And we'll talk plenty of sports as well throughout this hour.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter at Constantine M. Follow us at Jake Brown Radio at Jake Brown Show, and subscribe on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, write a review. We have a man in the building today with hair. Usually it's just two guys without hair, but this man has hair. You could spot him a mile away. You see him downstairs, you see the hair, and you're like, oh, there's Constantine.
You're a tall guy.
6'3".
Yeah.
A little tubby, 240, but I prefer food over abs.
Yeah, but you're an offensive guard.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, that's like 300.
No, well, these days, I swear there's some guys that are like just 240 and strong as heck.
Oh, my God, don't put me in that guys. Category.
No, you're not.
That's a bit. That's
don't
big.
Worry, I'm like a power forward.
I'm like a tight end.
Oh, yes, you are. What? Hey, you over there. Hey, I don't know what you're thinking, just because I'm from Broadway.
Hey.
I don't know.
And me and Constantine were talking earlier this week about the Yankees loss. You're frustrated, but guess what? They exceeded everyone's expectations. You saw a lot of youth. You saw some great trades made by Brian Cashman. Everyone wants his head. He makes these trades, and we're like, all right, make him the GM for the rest of your life. Girardi's job is saved by the comeback, although he probably still would have stayed if they lost. But the fact that they won that series and took it 7 in the ALCS, it was kind of playing with house money there. You come back, you lose after being up 3-2, but you're playing with house money. You're going to Houston, and that atmosphere is raucous. If you're a Yankee fan, you got to be satisfied despite the loss.
Satisfied, yes. And I know that nobody had expectations for them this year, but I did. I generally am pretty optimistic. I thought going into spring training, wow, coming off, you know, a nice finish last year, considering, you know, the year they had and injuries and, you know, expiring contracts, whatnot, you know, some holes in the starting rotation, but really great performances overall last year, very encouraging. You know, obviously the kids came up and made an impact, particularly Sanchez, but the Didi trade last year, incredible for
a
bag of balls.
Yeah.
You know, so just a good core of a team. And then as those trades were coming in, you were very encouraged. You know, you kind of pull in a way a fast one, you know, with the Miller trade, the Chapman trade, then re-signing Chapman. You had to think going into this season, and remember, they kicked butt in spring training. I know it's not a big deal, but, you know, Bird looks like, you know,
he's talking
Will
about
Clark.
Spring training stats right now. What is going
I'm
going
to go. So we're talking about expectations. So coming in, I remember, you know, we were talking about Joe and Evan earlier. So as New Yorkers, I listen. So they're big with the over-under, right? The over-under.
Over-under.
And I remember
window throw-up.
The over-under was so low this year.
What was it? Like
it was 82 or something. So Joe took over, and I'm telling my friends, I'm like, I think they're going to win 90 games.
Well, coming into the season with the roster they had, that was very hard to predict because the rotation was good. One, Severino turned out being great. Two, CeCe was incredible, which no one saw him still at this
last
age.
Last year, he had a great year also.
Oh, no, not as good. This year, he's been remarkable.
Look
Tanaka,
at
injury concerns.
Yeah.
The one thing they had was a bullpen. And while Betances seems like he has the nips because he's been throwing
a
month wild.
That happens.
People thought that the bullpen would carry them. But the starting rotation, man, pitching wins games, and that was the problem. But I think the lineup was so good, and Judge was just remarkable, obviously.
Judge was great. You know, he struck out a lot coming up last year, but I had faith in him. I had faith in him. Sanchez, Bird, a healthy season, you know, a couple of these guys stepping up. You know, I thought maybe Ellsbury could have a bounce-back year. I thought they'd get the same year out of CeCe as they got last year, and they got better. I thought, you know, best-case scenario, Tanaka and Severino would pitch the way they pitched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Cashman, Randy Levine, they sit back. They're like, this is the team we put together. If they're healthy, they're on the field, they're going to be productive, and they're going to get wins, particularly with that back end of the bullpen. And just depth. You know, I liked, you know, the Halliday thing coming over. I mean, he basically was very good for a half a year. You know, and then they figured stuff out. I mean, it was disappointing. It was, you know, when you get that close, when you win 3 at home in the way they did, and then you go to Houston and basically, you know, you forget your offense
and
in the Bronx.
And not only that, you lose to Charlie Morton in Game 7.
Well, the guy pitched great.
Yeah, well, you take it, but, I mean, you lose to Verlander in Game 6, fine. Verlander's just, he's undefeated with the Astros since he got there. You lose to Charlie Morton, it's a little more frustrating considering he was a fifth starter for like the Pittsburgh Pirates.
You know, look historically at these World Series. I mean, you're going to have a Charlie Morton to win. You know, you have to have one of those guys step up and get wins in the playoffs because you can't just win. You know, maybe those Giants teams from a few years ago, San Francisco Giants, basically with one pitcher, you know, Bumgarner, you know, carrying them, a wild card team through. But you're going to have to get W's by those kind of guys in your lineup because, you know, like, look, you know, Kershaw, you know, he hasn't had a great postseason career, but you gotta assume he's gonna get a W tonight. But if he doesn't, you're gonna get one out of Rich Hill or one of these guys, you know.
Well, when you have Kershaw and then Rich Hill, then you Darvish, then everyone forgets Game 4 starter Alex Wood, who was a Cy Young candidate this year. Alex Wood was, I think his record was like 14-2 or something crazy. That's four starters deep for the Dodgers, which makes me think that they have the advantage here just because
gotta
of
think.
That pitching staff and then the lineup, top to bottom, just so good.
Going forward with
Alex
the Yanks.
Wood, by the way, before you continue, 16-3 with a 2.72 ERA. No one talked about
team
that.
Team won 100-something games, and they won like 60 of them straight, it felt like, at one point. Then they lost 20 straight. So, you know, you're going to get W's. You're going to, you know, compile stats, you know, with that. The National League sucks, by the way. I'm sorry.
I mean, you got the Nationals, who were solid. Obviously, the choke artist, which I love watching.
Yeah.
The Cubs, defending champs, and the Dodgers. How are you going to say it sucks? The Diamondbacks also were great. So I would argue that it doesn't. But, I mean, while it can suck, the winner of the whole thing is going to be from the National League, because I just don't see anyone beating the Dodgers. I'm going
to
say,
well, you have to
Dodgers
think.
In seven.
Wow.
I think it goes deep. They have home field, so I think them being at home, you got to give them the advantage. One. Two, the pitching, four, deep. I think three and four for the Dodgers tops Charlie Morton, Lance McCullers, and Brad Peacock. I just think the Dodgers are too good right now, and it's win or go home. It's win or bust for them right now, because what the money they've put into this roster is remarkable. Magic Johnson, they've emptied their pockets.
For years now, though.
For years. But now more than ever, it's just so many big-time guys. I'm taking the Dodgers in seven. What's your prediction?
I got to say, I'd like to see that happen, but I think Houston in six. I think they steal a game, and then they have to win it in L.A., and that would be you don't want to go game seven. I think they steal it, and they do it in six.
You like Keuchel and Verlander to win all four? Is it what do they go? They would go 1, 2, 5, and 6. So do you think they win those?
I don't know. You know, I know that's the way to look at things now. We just kind of do the pitching matchups and who you're going to get. I mean, I think that they're going to have to do some work like they did on the Yankees. I think they're going to have to game seven a couple of these games. You know, they're going to piece a couple of guys together here, you know. Keuchel's nasty. It was frustrating watching the Yankees fail so much against him. That second game was better, you know. That cutter, whatever it is, man, that they just were swinging at it and missing on everything. You know, Judge got a hold of one of them, which was nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I think the starting pitching, I think it definitely kind of cancels out a little bit. It's going to be, you know, a little of the National League rules come into play here or there, you know, when to take a guy out, when not to.
Some small ball, you're going to see some pinch hitting.
I just hope Puig is just a failure in the whole series.
Why?
Because that guy sucks.
And
he's got
fun,
all
though.
The potential, and, you know, it's so frustrating.
Why? I think he's having a good time. I think the guy's just having fun out there. I don't think that's a problem.
No, he couldn't play here.
Really?
That would never happen.
I mean, the bat flips get a little excessive sometimes.
Oh, the whole showboat stuff is just,
yeah,
it's a little much for me. But, you know, he's exciting. You know, the talent is crazy. He's the kind of guy that can take over the entire World Series or just basically go 0-30.
He's had a mess, yeah. Constantine Marulla is taking the Astros in six games. I'm taking the Dodgers in seven on the Yankees front. Bright future. I think Yankee fans are excited. Todd Frazier will be a free agent. We'll see where he ends up. Might come to Queens as the Mets
being
third baseman. Yeah. I'll take him.
He'll go to Queens.
With David Wright, who knows when, if he'll ever return to a baseball field.
He will not.
If he does, it won't be for more than 24 hours.
Yeah, he will not be back.
The Mets signed Mickey Callaway as manager, Cleveland Solid. Indians pitching coach. Solid for what they need. You have starting pitchers up the wazoo who are supposed to be good and obviously didn't have a great year as we won 70 games. But
a lot of talent there still.
Yeah,
you
there's
know,
still
they
talent.
Got a couple of kids there in the mix. They've, you know, you can't argue Alderson's moves over the last couple of years, you know, pulling the Cespedes button and it really working when it did at the time and riding it all the way like that. You know, he's put a Jay Bruce in there. You know, he they'll go into spring training with not your favorite lineup, but they'll pick up a guy or two and then they'll make a run at it with that pitching, you know, and it's so deep. Imagine if those guys were healthy all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really scary.
Well, and Harvey was also such a disappointment.
I know.
You worry about him off the field and the
what do you think's
cocaine
gonna
rumors and all that.
Well,
and
you know, look, I mean, he wouldn't be the first guy or the last guy, and you know how New York gets a little crazy. Man, I was in the club scene when Jeter and, you know, Tino and Posada, they were out every night. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't sleep. That was before real significant social media
this
stuff
is what,
was
2000s
happening.
Or?
Yeah, in like the early and mid-2000s.
So you would be at the club with Derek Jeter just chilling?
For sure. 10 June, I'd see him. He'd be right there. Yeah. For sure.
Did you talk?
Yeah,
this
so
was after
like, yeah.
Idol days?
And he'd see
or?
Me a little. It was after my Idol days. So we're talking like 2005, basically.
Okay.
You know? And, 2004,
2005. What's a 2005 club night, Constantine Tino? Like, are you guys popping bottles?
I'm not like that. You know, a lot of the times it's those clubs that are just starting and they There's a lot of comping going on, and there's promoters that you know, but it's never crazy. These are like more like lounges, you know. I remember 10 June down in the Meatpacking, and there was another one, you know. You would see those guys, they would never be out of control ever, you know. They're such pros with on and off, believe me. And you know, you have to know how to handle yourself, you know. And they certainly did even then, before social media and all, but you know, people would be out. So I see it, and it gets, there's, you know, and I know people that hang out with Harvey, and I've seen him out and about, and, you know, it's hard to, that life is kind of sick. You're out, and you're sitting with, like, beautiful people, and you're just chilling, and there's always music, and it's, things are comped, and you're getting treated great, and, you know, you actually meet a great group of people that you go out with essentially every night, you know. It's the same kind of group, and it's intoxicating, it is, you know. But you gotta stay. I mean, look, I never was into drugs, you know, and I'm not much of a drinker, you know, so that stuff will get a hold of you, and it'll definitely mess up your game. I mean, even for what I do, when I'm trying to do 8 shows a week on Broadway, try doing blow and singing Rock of Ages. That doesn't happen, you know? So try pitching, you know, 98 with a filthy, you know, off-speed pitch, and you're out all night. It doesn't work. I mean, the guys in the old days...
Doc Gooden a question.
Oh, he had, what, a couple of good years? I mean, let's be honest.
I don't know.
He had a nice comeback with the Yankees, but he certainly... Yeah. What did he win?
194 games. That's more than a couple good years.
Right, well, he did get almost 200 wins.
He, I mean, he had, let's see, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91. He was all over 500, and then it pretty much went downhill after that.
Maybe threw his no-hitter after that with the Yanks. Or a perfect game. No, no-hitter.
Which came out of nowhere, considering he wasn't that good then. But, yeah, I understand.
He certainly didn't have 99 on the gun game either.
No.
That was filthy.
And
remember when the Yankees – remember Andy Hawkins pitched a no-hitter technically at the time before it was – they changed the rules. He pitched a no-hitter on the road that he lost.
What year was that?
Oh, it's got to be 87.
I wasn't alive, so Pat was alive.
But you've heard that in Yankee lore, I'm sure.
I remember that.
And those were the lean, weird years for the Yanks, man. They had –
They were terrible. That's when there was a Mets town.
That was good times for me.
Pat was living his best life then.
Yeah, that was a good time then. But the Yanks, Mattingly, I don't know if one Met star was bigger than Mattingly was at that point. Even though the Yankees were in those weird Steinbrenner, you know, years
People love Keith. Keith was the guy. Like everyone, and now everyone loves
Don
Keith.
Mattingly was worldwide star.
Mattingly may have been the best player in baseball.
At the time,
when you the MVP year,
yeah.
But Doc was huge.
Yeah, Doc in the '80s.
Here.
Nationally,
I remember coming into the city from Jersey on the bus. The first thing you saw was like this 20-foot poster of Doc right outside the Port Authority.
Yeah, Doc was
like,
that
he
dude.
He was huge.
But anyway, on the Mets, I just to wrap up on the Mets is. The manager's great and all. He's good with pitchers. They need pitchers. Let's see them spend now. And they still need to fill out the coaching staff. I mean, Kevin Long might go to the Nationals, coach, and beat the Mets in the division, and that'll be frustrating. But Dusty Baker.
Good for Kevin Long. I can't believe it. I mean, he's still got a job. Like, I don't know. I mean,
I think he's solid.
Yeah, he was with Yankee coach.
Yeah,
you know, they like
the Mets.
They made
the Mets
a run.
Just got hurt.
He was a Yankee
was
coach
hurt.
When they won in 2009, I believe.
The Mets lineup in September was a Triple-A lineup that he was coaching as a hitting coach. So there's nothing really you can do when you guys who shouldn't be here who are here.
Well, you know, Cespedes, you know, I mean, he plays 30 games a year.
He needs to drink water. That's the thing. The guy didn't stay hydrated. That was a story. And
is that what they say?
They said that he just doesn't stay hydrated. Obviously, everyone knows the stories that he smokes cigarettes, a ton of them in the, you know, playing golf. In the clubhouse, like outside the clubhouse, the tunnel where you're going to walk to the batting cage. So that's a problem. But
that's like he's like a nervous type. Then, you know, he's like one of those guys that just needs to. I mean,
I think he's just chilling.
If you're a superior athlete and you're smoking, there's got to be some kind of stuff going on.
Yeah. His numbers still weren't that bad. He just needs to stay on the field. So they need him. They need Conforto to come back from this crazy injury, which is concerned. They think he'll be ready for spring training, but that's a shoulder injury, and you're a hitter. That's his numbers probably aren't going to be anywhere near as good as they were this year. So let's see the Mets get a bullpen, spend some money, see if
they
bring Harvey
back. Too bad we can never
back.
Make a trade together, you know?
Yeah,
Yanks
that'll
and
never
Mets.
Work.
It just never happens.
Although, if there's
Picture
one
you guys,
that works,
Gardner,
so you're looking at what rumors I've heard is
Ellsbury.
Jerry Blevins for Starlin Castro.
Wow.
That, to me, is something you think about, because I love Blevins. He's a great lefty reliever. Mets need a second baseman. If you have Castro and Rosario up the middle,
I don't know why
solid.
Everyone's pushing Castro out the door constantly every time. All he's done is come here and get 200 hits every year. He's a four-time All-Star. I mean, the guy,
he's good, yeah.
He's very good. He transitioned into second base like seamlessly. You know, he jacks home runs. He goes on just like hot streaks, you know?
How about we give you Hansel Robles,
seems to always
too,
get a hit.
Hot streaks.
Dude, I don't want any Met, just to be honest. I mean, like, maybe the
I
only
Met. I don't
want to
lose Blevins. I love Blevins. He's a dominant lefty reliever, and the Yankees don't have that at all in their bullpen. They don't have a dominant lefty, so I think it's a deal that makes
Except
sense.
Except Chapman.
That was a brain fart by me, but he is a closing. In the middle relief, if you could have Blevins.
No, of course.
It's not
We've
like
always had that one lefty
NL.
Guy.
And it's not like the NL where you bring in one guy to face one batter. So the American League, you don't see that as much. You see a lefty face one batter because of the there's no pinch
hitter. I
wonder
if like a Jaime Garcia would ever consider. Oh, that was what I wanted to ask you before about Harvey. Because like I think he's got one last shot as a big-time starter, and to get that contract. You might start seeing him in like the seventh, eighth, ninth inning himself at some point.
That's
just unleash 98 with
well,
the slot.
That's the issue. He doesn't throw that fast anymore.
He's, well, if he was coming in for one inning, he might.
You're
They'd
right.
all say that.
I would consider that. But you I know? Think the Mets kind of
would
need
he
him
consider
as a starter.
It? That's not where the money is.
Yeah.
And starting pitching is such a commodity when you have it. You have to at least – that's like the Yanks. You remember Severino came in, and he was a stopper out of the bullpen in a playoff run, you know?
The issue is going from starter to reliever and then him wanting to come a starter again. It just screws up your arm.
And Jabba, and they screwed up, you know, that whole thing. All Torrey had to do was just take him off the field that day.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
I would have just been like, off the field, done.
Jabba Chamberlain, the
with
legend.
With the widgets. Just widgets in your nose and your eyes and your ass. Widgets.
Oh, widgets. Jake Brown Show. Constantine Maroulos in studio. Follow me on Twitter at Constantine M.
Constantine M at Constantine Maroulos on Instagram.
Oh, on in the gram. Don't
we were talking
that.
About all the platforms.
Yeah, we were talking Facebook
Stories.
Live is usually better than Instagram.
But what do
live.
You think about Snapchat?
I'm a Snapchatter.
You're like a filter guy. You like to put a lot of like cute filters on well, yourself and stuff.
I did the other day. There's a filter that has like blue hair, and I'm like Jake with hair, and it was pretty funny.
Well, the best filters are actually on Facebook, but people don't realize when you have the app, upper left, that little camera, click that, and it's a full-blown Snapchat, and they have the best filters.
Then we're going to have our
but
parents
nobody
using
watches.
Facebook filters, and that's when it just takes a turn for the worst.
No, that's
my parents are already on Facebook. And
oh, that's not
my
good.
Mom with embarrassing comments and like and everything. She's probably watching this right now.
Mommy
gonna call me like, don't embarrass me.
But it's all a big mess. Yeah, but no, at Constantine Maroulos on the Instagram. Really, the website has got everything too. ConstantineMaroulos.com. We got the new play coming up. We start rehearsals really tonight. I'm in the studio doing some pre-production. New kind of dark rock musical. Bulldozer, the Ballad of Robert
Moses. Oh, it is
Moses.
A musical.
It is a musicale.
Oh, okay.
No.
I got to see it then.
Yeah. It's cool. It's kind of going to have like a Spring Awakening treatment to it where it's this sort of period piece, but then the music kicks in and it's like into a rock.
Anyone else in it that we might know? Or are you the guy?
Can't announce that yet. Because we haven't finalized the rest of the casting. Okay. But
you were the main character. You're like
I am. I play Robert Moses. I will look very different than I am now and probably have like...
ton of makeup.
Either much shorter hair or probably some sort of wigged.
You will become a Snapchat filter.
I will be wigged filtering the head.
The
I will win
filter.
This you for my
Emmy.
Off-Broadway debut.
Now, you were a Tony nominee, correct?
Yes. I didn't win.
Who won?
Can we not talk about that? Jake? No, I'm just teasing.
Because I know, because I'm friends with James Iglehart, who played Aladdin.
He won.
Played Genie. He won that year?
Yeah,
is that the
won.
Year you went up against him?
No. He was
he's a winner.
Supporting, by the way. I was lead. Thank you.
Jake. He's the genie. I'm pretty sure the genie
he's
is the lead.
The genie
actor.
In the bottle. That's not in the show.
Oh.
Aladdin.
We need a beatboxer.
I love him. Yeah. He's a great guy. And I believe he's...
I don't think he won that year.
No. Yeah, he won. I don't remember who won. It doesn't matter. I was also nominated as a producer last year. Not a big deal. My second.
NBD.
Second watch.
Do you want to be in like a movie? Have you tried to do movies?
Well, Jake, no, I don't want to be in a movie. Of course I want to be in a movie, okay? I've gotten very close to some good ones, and I've been in a little stuff. Jeez. But you know,
I'm
sometimes
not trying to take
it's
shots
tough.
Here. I'm just
teasing. Yeah. No, yes, I think it's been enough time since it's like, yo, you're Constantine guy, you know, that people are starting to realize, oh, he's an actual, you know, like award-winning and nominated actor guy. Like he can come in and not just be rocker, you know, can do other things. You know, I did this play with Second Stage off Broadway last year and got rave in the New York Times, you know, no singing in that show, you know, good stuff like that. So I think it's a bit of a process. Like now I'm like a man. I'm like 40. I'm a man.
I'm 40. Who said that? That was
the coach
Mike Gundy, I think.
I don't remember.
Oklahoma State. Yeah, Oklahoma State.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic drop. I'm actually 42, but I
thought he was like 32, 35.
Don't worry.
42.
That's what I tell people. Oh. No, it's pretty hard to lie.
Ladies
these
commenting
days.
Hearts and everything.
I'm
at
29,
only 3 years older than me, but was alive in the 80s.
I'm like
the Yankees sucked.
Obscure 80s references. Anyway, yeah.
So when does the show start after the preview? Like, when is it official? Because you said there's previews.
It's official. It opens 24th. Come then. That's when we start
November
doing 24th. Business. Yes.
Okay.
Right around Thanksgiving, you'll be in town. It's going to be cool and moody and sexy and cool.
Bulldozer. And how long does the show go?
It'll run through January.
Okay.
And then I'm on tour a bit late January.
Going to Guam.
Going to Guam for New Year's. Going to Guam, Asia. Asia, we're going to Guam again. I've been there now twice. Amazing place.
And we said he can make many Guam jokes while he's in Guam, because he's literally in Guam.
I'm actually in Guam. On Guam, a lot of people say there, because it's just like such a small island.
That sounds French. On Guam.
On Guam. There's a really crazy story. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but there was a Japanese soldier that basically got lost in the woods after World War II and stayed in the woods for like 40 years.
And survived.
And he survived. And he basically was like Rambo in the woods.
And he's still alive.
You could Google this. Anyone could Google this. This is like a huge story.
Why did this just come up?
And only, random. No, well, I only heard about it when I was over there, but I think it actually happened in like, you know, the late 70s. He was found. And, still had his, like, you know, not his musket, but whatever he was, you know, whatever
his
gun
musket.
His musket. No,
World War II.
No, World War II. He probably had like some, you know, standard M16 or something, and he still had it, and he had like survived and lived for decades in the deep in the Guam jungle.
Deep in the Guam. That's your next hit single.
Deep in Guam.
Deep in the Guam. So you'll be traveling around Guam.
So we'll be there. Then I'll be on tour in January and February with my stuff and another act that we're going to be announcing pretty shortly.
Ruben,
it's going to be
Studdard.
Me and Studdard.
I love what? Ruben because he had the 205 jersey and that's my birthday.
I don't even know Birmingham. What that ever was. What
was
the
Birmingham. There's
oh,
Eric
got it. Yeah, then he got in trouble for wearing them or something. I don't remember.
Did he?
Yeah.
You weren't on Ruben season.
No, I was on season 4 with Carrie Underwood.
You were in the Carrie. That's
yeah,
right. That's when
season.
I loved Idols.
Best season
five.
Ever.
Who else was on that? So it was Carrie.
Me,
who else?
Carrie, and Bo Bice.
Bo Bice.
Vonzel Solomon. I don't know if you know him. Any others, to be honest.
I know. If you keep going through the
Nadia
top 12.
Turner, Scott Savel, your long lost brother. What? He looks.
What's his last name?
S-A-V-O-L. You're not going to like it.
Jesus Christ. I remember him too.
You remember him.
God damn it.
He was like, he's
I need
kind
to
of.
Lose some weight. Jesus.
No, you don't.
This guy is a chubby checker over
no.
here.
I told you, he's
I
your fatter,
him, yeah.
older brother. You're the leaner, more handsome one.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
He's from Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Shaker Heights. I'm looking at season 4. Okay, let's see who else I recognize here.
Anthony Fedorov. He had the tracheotomy.
One of them looks like a Ed Sheeran, kind of.
Oh, jeez. Who's that?
Here's the picture. Let's see.
That is not my season. That's not season 4. That's
what is that?
That is David Archuleta's season. The famed Mormon.
Season 4. Here it is. All right.
There we are. That one girl did porn.
Which, really?
Just saying.
Who?
I mean, I don't know if I should mention her name, but
you can point
this
to
one.
Amazing. Carrie Underwood.
Jessica Sierra. What?
I don't recognize
it's and you know
you
that's
really
Ozzie Smith's son in the middle, Nico Smith, the black dude.
Oh him I remember, he was
the
good.
Other black dude,
he was good
in the middle, Nico Smith there,
him I remember.
That's
Bo, obviously
that's
you.
Yes,
Jake Brown Sr. I remember Carrie Underwood and porn star.
Look at me and Carrie together.
Just you were one of the more recognizable names. What do you think it is?
Well, I think, I was a little older when I came on the show. I just came out of, like, prestigious drama school, and I was in Rent on a Broadway tour, and I had a band, and I was not young. I mean, I was, like, the end of 28 when I auditioned.
Like, you didn't need Idol to, like,
I think we all need an
helps,
a platform and an opportunity to do stuff. I think for me, it felt like a natural progression in what I was, working towards. You know, like, I got my training, I got a lot of experience, I did a lot of shows in the Boston area and in the New York area, and I played in bands, I had a lot of stage time, and mm-hmm. I've been in the studio, and I'd done things and toured a bit with Rent and all that. So I think, like, yeah, this was like my now, like, master's program, or like my, professional, true professional preparatory time. And, you take the opportunity and you turn something into it. I think it was a combination. They'd never had a man on the show before. It was the first year they upped the age, 28, 29. I come on with the long hair and the long name.
How did Idol change your life?
I think, it's about sort of an opportunity, when you, do all you dream, you work hard, I went to school. I think it was just an opportunity to connect with an actual audience. And now, I was lucky to be on when I was, because it was like 30 million people a night watching.
That was when it was popping.
It was just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't go anywhere.
I couldn't miss a week of it. That was like when you had to watch every week.
Well, I think they're gonna, I think in a way, there's a lot of excitement about the new season. I think the move to ABC is huge. I think the Disney synergy that's always been there is even obviously, bigger than ever, because it is Disney. Mm-hmm. But I think that they spent a lot of money on the judges, one in particular. Great for them.
I feel like they're not going to make
money.
That
was a lot of the problem, in the last few years. I think they will find a nice audience. Dude, the last couple of seasons, particularly last season, actually performed very well. They, they have great producers on the show now. They've gotten the production costs down, and people still love it. It's like McDonald's, dude. It's like, it just makes people feel good. That
I just
little
feel like
blue.
There's no singers left. I feel not that, but I feel like I have no idea who's won the last couple of years. When you guys were on, they were still talking about names. We're still talking to you. We're still talking to Carrie. We're still talking about Ruben, Kelly Clarkson, Justin Guarini. I mean, they had a freaking movie.
Right.
People now, I have no idea who's won like the last 5 years.
Well, because it took a turn towards it just being about the judges, the famous judges. It used to be about that contestant and their journey, and we'd get to know them, and we really root for them. And Paula, Randy, and Simon, we didn't know as well. They were huge stars from the show.
Yeah.
Granted, Paula was a pop star. I get that, but really,
I had no idea.
But you didn't know that your generation
before the show.
She had huge hits. Actually,
I knew Paula, but Simon or Randy, I had no idea before I had.
Well, Simon was just essentially a record executive over, in.
And you kind of fell in love with the judge, but it wasn't about the judge. It was about the singer, like you said.
Right. It was a journey. They had a story. There was a thing. They were like the funny contestants. It was a great, there was an innocence. There wasn't even an HD yet. Like, it hadn't really caught up to itself. There mm-hmm. was an innate charm about it. And then it got, once everyone was aware of how successful and how many hundreds of millions were like pouring in, then, like anything, it's so hard to make. It's like the Yanks dynasty, really. It's like, how long can we possibly win for? You can't just keep winning and winning and winning. There's so much winning. There's so much. But so for Idol, it took a dip. And then when they changed the judges six times over, but again, even if it's 5 and 10 million people on a big night for them rather than 25 to 30 million,
mm-hmm.
it's still a young person with a dream on a stage with a platform who's going to garner hundreds of thousands of followers, and people are going to follow them till the end of time, a group of people. Now, what are you going to do with that opportunity? You're not going to just make it because you were somebody on Idol, obviously. I was lucky. I got back to basics. I went to Broadway. I was always working towards that anyhow. I got a great show that was a huge vehicle, but the synergy was awesome in Rock of Ages. I played the underdog in the show. I was the underdog who got voted off too early on American Idol. Now, I wish everyone could have a project like that. I don't think that's going to happen for everybody. And when I talk to young people, I tell them that. I'm like, look, there's certain realities here. I go speak to a prestigious musical theater class at a great, program, wherever, from Carnegie Mellon to Boston Conservatory to Rutgers, whatever. one of you maybe in this class is going to have a substantial career on Broadway. Maybe one.
Do people come to you for advice?
But like you're all studying to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
like young people.
Yeah, they do. You. And I do coaching stuff. I don't advertise it, but if it comes easy, you know, I mean, there's great money. And I love teaching younger people. Masterclass on a Saturday afternoon, you know, 20, 30 kids in there. You get to work with most of them one-on-one. And, you know, I mean, the stuff I can share is... you know, it's huge. It's mm-hmm. it's invaluable, you know. So the experience of, like, walking into a real audition, meeting an agent, and all of those things are huge. But I don't really advertise that I do that. But I like to work with younger people, and I wish there were more people in my position doing that for me when I was mm-hmm. younger. Because I felt like a lot of people are like, yeah, I'll totally help you. I'm not helping. You know, just people are the worst. Yeah. The worst.
I don't know. I don't see the show itself having as much success as it used to.
No, it's not gonna, because there's so much content out there.
Do you regret the week you got eliminated doing Nickelback?
Sure. I mean, I kind of got screwed because, and maybe in a way set up, because, hey, I'm a producer now. I can see how great a television it was. I was flying high with Carrie Underwood, never out of one, two, or three, ever. Never in the bottom three, ever.
She's so good.
Dominating. She's,
Before He Cheats is my karaoke anthem.
She's amazing.
And I dug my crane into the side of this pretty little souped up four-wheel drive.
She didn't write a note of that, but just that's fine. she sang them all, and
shots
no, I'm
fired.
Just saying,
Ghost Riders.
It doesn't matter. She's, you know, she's.
Did they make you do Nickelback?
No. What ended up happening was I was set to do "Beautiful Day," U2.
Okay.
Which was a big hit at the time. It was all kind of current radio songs. Mm-hmm. Remember, you couldn't clear the songs you can clear now, you know, because they didn't realize that, like, how. What a spike it would have on the entire catalog, even if you went up there and sang a song, mm-hmm. you know, from Queen.
No hate.
It would, like, you going up there going, doing Fat Bottom Girls, it would just have a huge spike. The original album, everything would just spike. People were reluctant to buy into that the first few seasons. Anyway, so I you know, the baby mama's, like, texting me 19 times. Like, I don't know. It's like, can I,
get
I think they
diapers.
Want, sort,
how old's your daughter?
She's six.
Six. No,
she's got a great mom, Angelina Reed, Angel Reed. But it's cool. Co-parents, all that. But don't text me right now. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you know, I think I was set to do one song, and then they pulled the rights, and then I couldn't do it, and then I had to go to the Nickelback song because that was a current song, and, you know.
How You Remind Me. What's the song?
Yeah.
Can you sing a little snippet? I'm trying to think.
Never made it as a poor man. Never made it as a something leading. This is how you remind me.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Oh, that,
not
that's
like
a classic,
you.
Man.
Say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. This time I'm mistaken for giving you a hard work breaking. I've been wrong. I've been down. Been to the bottom of every bottle. This five words in my head. Are we having fun? Yeah. You know, it's a fun. You know, it's Nickelback.
And you're eliminated.
And see you. You're
and
eliminated.
Here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
It was like
over.
Me playing a little bit too much into the rock thing when I didn't get Beautiful Day, which, you know, with the big change. Touch me. Take me to that other place. Teach me.
All right, Constantine, stop showing off.
You know what I mean? Like, that would have been it. With the lights. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, that would have been
it. You know, forget it. So it was lit.
Yeah.
And
you did the Bee Gees the week before that, Nights on Broadway. How did that one go?
Well, I always tried to have, like, a little tongue-in-cheek thing. I did, you know, I Think I Love You, Partridge Family, which, mm-hmm. you know, one week. I always had a little cheeky thing, but...
I Can't Make You Love Me.
A lot of the stuff I wanted to do was not, like, I wanted to just wail Bon Jovi, Journey, you know, Whitesnake. I wanted to, you know,
kiss
hit him with Boston, you know. A lot of songs wouldn't clear. A lot of stuff wouldn't clear.
Hit me with
then.
A Kiss from a Rose, a couple lines.
Well, baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that Jake's rose is in bloom, oh, light hits the gloom on the gray.
That's a joke.
Let's play one of your new ones now.
Let's do it.
Well, so we play. We
well,
play
I have
Here
a new song that's going back on the radio at Sirius. It's going to be on the Pulse, Sirius FM, Sirius XM, the Pulse, and it's called "All About You." It's an original I co-wrote with Sam Hollander, a huge songwriter. He wrote "Hand Clap" by Fits and the Tantrums. I can make your hands clap.
Oh, yeah, that's
every night when the stars come out. So that one. Big hit, so we're hoping for the same.
What's the title?
It's called "All About You."
Oh, that
and
okay.
It's basically about my first love. It's like a power ballad.
That's your one this year. Oh,
yeah.
All right, let's play "She's Just Rock and Roll."
All right, cool.
You want to sing over it before we wrap up? We don't even need to talk. The Giants lost. Season's over.
No, it's not over. We got to trade Eli to
Coughlin. Stop. You can't trade Eli.
One of you was a perfect excuse. Kept me guessing. Some girls get so confused, but I know better. You are the innocent one. That much I know. That much I know. How does it feel to be stuck in my soul? Baby, you're in control.
Yeah.
How do you find your way into my bones?
CM. I'm just the hype man in the middle.
That's right. This one's about the two women in my life. The one that was very bad for me and the one that was very good for me that I let get away. And they both destroyed me. But you know what? The one girl, she's just rock and roll. She's always been good to me. Just rock and roll.
None of these other favorite ones.
Maybe one. She kicked me out of my bed, got my eviction.
See him coming through Broadway. Yeah, we doing Peyton, J. Verlander. He got Kate Upton. Oh, she got big titties and love on the bone. This is "She's Just Rock and Roll."
Yeah, check it out on Spotify.
Get on Spotify. Is it on iTunes, please?
iTunes, Spotify, iTunes. Amazon. "She's Just Rock and Roll." Here I come. All About You. All About You is going back on rotation right now.
It's new album.
New album year. In the works.
2018?
Yeah, very early. We're going on tour January and February. Bulldozer, the musical, off-Broadway this winter to complete the 2017 season. I've had a crazy 2016-2017 season on the Broadway and the off-Broadway. So this will sort of finalize that, and I'm very excited to be originating yet another new role here in New York. It was always my dream. And Robert Moses was an incredible 20th century New Yorker, and you know, you mention it to like bigwigs, and they're like, "Oh my God, Robert Moses?" They love this guy.
No relation
the power
to
broker.
Moses himself, by the way.
The Power Broker and The Art of the Deal are, you know, those two books that these kind of guys really like. And in a way, they were similar people. But Moses was far more innovative than DT ever will be. Mm-hmm. You take that to heart.
Right,
check that to hell. Giants fine. Giants are going to be just
over.
Giants season is over, and that's fine. And I feel bad for Eli because he doesn't want to get killed, but he wants to keep playing.
No line and
no
receivers left, and he's throwing the guys. Like, I don't even know. Who's
you know, you
got to
like the tight end. You know, I think the defense will bounce back next year. You know, Vernon's got to be healthy. You know, JPP's still an animal. I mean, they get pressure. They just don't get the quarterback down. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, you got to love 21, Collins. You got to love, you know, a couple of these other, you know. Oh, I can't believe Eli Apple. Like, he's kind of feeling himself all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where have you been for 2 years? You were a number one pick. You
His
made a couple of plays. Well, they shut her up real fast.
Well, she was on ESPN a lot.
No, not anymore. Though not after that, not basically after that first little you know, little plunge into the media she took.
Yeah,
the Giants old school, you know,
some of
the Mara Mafia
taking advantage
they quieted,
of 20, the
quieted, they quieted that down real fast. And he's like taking his helmet off on that. I'm like, what are you doing,
like,
bro? You made one play, you're one and six.
I know, it's,
you know, and the, you know, in general, I don't dig Odell. I mean, the guy is an incredible talent. He's a superhero. I get it. Star. I understand. You know, I saw it with Victor Cruz, though. What people forget is Victor Cruz was Odell before Odell, just not as good. And he was feeling himself, and he got the big contract, and then he got hurt because he didn't want to go across the middle anymore. I say trade Odell now, which will never happen, but trade Odell now, bring back, you know, picks. And I say trade Eli to Coughlin with that Super Bowl defense he's got down there. Let him make a run at it over the next year or two. Finish his career because he's going to get literally killed here. Mm-hmm. He's going to actually get killed, and he's going to ruin his streak anyhow. I'd like to see what, you know, what Webb has, or even Geno. You know, just people forget, you know, Geno's got some skills, you know. I mean, I know Jets fans hate him, but he ended his Jet career pretty damn well. Better than anyone I've seen in the play since. Stop. No one's had a game like Geno had his
Josh
last
McCown
game
has
as a Jet.
He's actually been solid.
He's
besides
been solid.
That one throw over against the Dolphins on Sunday, but
he's
been
solid.
He's
a solid vet. And I like, you know, they're playing kind of like that giant football. Like, when Parcells came to the Jets a little bit, he kind of implemented a little of that stuff. You know,
throwing. It's amazing that the Jets could be 5-2 if, I mean, McCown doesn't make that throw. You got a shot, and then
Patriots
overturned call in the end zone.
That was terrible.
That was a disgraceful call.
That was disgraceful. And got to be honest, the touchdown the other night that Collins made the play on, I thought was pretty disgraceful, too.
Yeah.
You know, and, but the Giants are going to be fine. It's disappointing to see that they're going to have, like, maybe 2, 3, 4 wins in a season. I mean,
I think they'll be right back to it next year. And
they will.
You focus offensive line all offseason, get a brand new entire offensive line. Every player should be replaced.
Got to go get that guy from the Browns who's just miserable.
Joe Thomas,
him there. I mean, the line had played a little better last week. They got a running game going. I think you got to think, you know, one of these crazy top three quarterbacks coming out, too. I think you got
to
think you're going to get into that.
The time, yeah. I think
Webb
the Jets are going to try to get one, and I think the Browns and Niners are going to need one. Unless the Niners think this better guy gonna is
going to
be good. Well,
they're going to end up having 8 wins.
No. The Jets will fall back down to earth, and they're starting to already at 3-4 right now. They're going to start losing, believe me. I think they finished 5-4, are they? Yeah, 3-4. 3-4.
I thought they were 4-3.
No, because they lost last two. They were 3-2.
That's right. That's right.
So they're going to fall back down to earth. We'll see if they get a quarterback. If they keep winning, they're going to lose out on one. Some other NFL news. Jay Cutler hurt. He's out for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So Moore is going to start for the Dolphins, who find a way again to win. They're 4-2. The Dolphins are they beat the Falcons in crazy ways.
Moore has had an interesting career. I mean, he looked pretty damn good
when
they put him in there.
He's a serviceable backup.
You know?
He comes in.
Cutler used to be my go-to guy for fantasy. Mm-hmm. When I dominated like for 3-4 straight seasons with the WFAN, you know, the Boomer and Carton fantasy. God rest its soul.
Rest in peace.
That's gone forever.
R.I.P. in peace.
We won't go into any more of that. But Cutler was my guy because everyone wants to get the hot, you know, everyone wants Rodgers and Brady. And I would go Cutler like, you know, second round, third round. He'd always be good for 2 touchdowns and yards.
And
you know, and you got him
that.
So cheap. Yeah, but then you'd, you know, he would get you going and you could spend the first 2 picks on wide receivers. You know,
well, now you don't get a quarterback till much later than that. I mean, now it's like, depending if it's PPR, you go receiver, then running back, receiver, running back, and then quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just done with fantasy. Madden is just so much better.
Yeah, I love Madden. Are you Madden? Are you playing Madden?
Yeah.
PS4?
PS4.
Nice.
And the show is
Might have to go to my friend's house, play you online.
I actually switched systems just so I can get the show because they stopped making
Xbox.
2K. They stopped making the Xbox game, 2K, MLB 2K, or whatever it was.
MLB
The Show is a Sony PS4. Game only made for PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know?
They didn't
make it for the other system.
Okay.
So, and then they stopped making the Xbox baseball game, which was great. And it's very similar to The Show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the same game. I mean, the gameplay is pretty similar. It's like Madden versus the NCAA version.
Yeah.
It's the exact same game, but it's like different teams.
You play FIFA?
No.
FIFA's
corny.
Corny. Great.
Not really.
Play with Madden.
Bohemian Idol, get at me.
Is that your username?
Bohemian Idol.
Bohemian Idol.
I'll come right up. Bohemian Idol. Might be even, what's that?
I'll send you a request.
Send me one. Bohemian Idol. I think it's Bohemian Idol 93 even on my new one. Bohemian, because Bohemian Rhapsody. Hello, hello.
Hello.
And then Idol, you know. And then 93 is the year I was born. What?
somehow younger than me, although people think I'm in my 30s and my bald head. All right, so we're going to wrap up here.
We're going to wrap up here. Wait, so
we're going to try to make a call to
are
someone.
Are you paying me for parking or
no,
not?
I'm not.
Because we were talking.
Yeah, that's
I was like,
sorry.
So I'm going to put it in the garage. He's like, bro, yeah. I got like 200 in my bank account.
I'm
like,
poor, yeah.
He's like, I got Chick-fil-A. We did get some Chick-fil-A. This is all he brought. One box with three.
That is false. You got 12 nuggets and fries.
I wolfed those down. Yeah, did I inhale those?
Usually if I ever get, people just don't eat it. I inhaled
every nugget and every fry, and this is what's left. No, you're a great host.
This is a low-budget production.
I'm just teasing.
To the podcast award.
I was like, I'll put it in the
podcast.
$30 an hour garage. No problem. It's fine. Oh, who is this? Oh, that's Melania, but that's the Melania that was with the president the other day. How about the fake Melania? That was a good look.
We can't. There's let's not talk anything Trump right now. It's just too much. Like, we don't have Cheetos in here. We don't need I try not to get politics involved.
Good. I'm glad. I hear
sports,
where you're coming
from. ESPN's doing all that, and they're failing.
What do you think of them?
How about ESPN cutting the Barstool show?
What do you think about that?
Terrible. I mean, they don't understand the values. You knew what Barstool was coming in. Like, I don't care what your values are, or Sam Ponder doesn't like Barstool, or people don't like it. Was
what he said to her was unforgivable, and I didn't realize that until yesterday.
What? Who said? What?
What the president? President of Barstool, the founder. Yeah. Forget his name. They just call him Prez.
Dave Portnoy.
Portnoy. I'm a fan. But one thing is, every time there's no black people that work there, which I think is insane. There's literally no African Americans there, and except the one small person.
The midget guy.
You know, and that's cool and all that, you know, but clearly he's more of like, I don't know. Sort of ornament in a way. I'm not sure if he's fully employed there. Every time they show the whole place, there's no diversity there at all. It's a little weird for me. But
is that like a requirement? They brought people on that fit the blog. I don't think it's. I know most companies you want diversity, but I don't think that's a requirement for them because it's.
I think as big as they are and as impactful as they are and as much as they like sort of make fun of the average white guy, college student, you know, beer drinking Brad, as they call them.
It's just their demographic. I don't think it's the fact that's an issue. I mean, look at their traffic is nuts. They've exploded.
Oh, I'm just saying have more people.
The
working
ratings
there.
On the Van Talk opener were better or 10 times better than anything they put on there. Baseball Tonight, SportsCenter, whatever they're going to put on there. Not even close to what the ratings that they got.
No. Well, and what he said about Sam Ponder was unacceptable. Look it up, what he said. It was he's like, you know, your kids are ugly, stick to this or that. Like all this chauvinistic, wacky, crazy stuff he said.
Yeah. I think
so. That kind of bit them, you know, on the butt, came back to bite them. You know, now they know and they're careful what they say. But I often wonder, like, they throw around so much stuff in there. There must be some weird,
People got to realize, I mean, there was a whole thing you heard about the contract, the girl who tweeted out the contract she got from Barstool.
Yeah, I've worked at Fox News for on and off for 12 years, too. You know, when I did so much on-air stuff, you know, and I was always like, you know, an invited pundit of sorts, you know, in the late night show, Red Eye and all that. And the behavior was pretty acceptable or pretty, you know, for a long time until it just wasn't, you know. And it was like you always kind of knew that there was crazy stuff going on there and like, you know, and then it just wasn't cool anymore and it's not cool. So I think they can't just play under there's no rules, because if you watch and it's great. It's very entertaining, and the stuff they show, and the, you know, all of them have personalities, and I get it.
Did you watch the Van Talk, David?
I didn't get to see that actual show, but I'm just saying is in time they're going to learn that, like, the way they throw around language in the office, and someday someone is just not going to be cool with it, and it's going to come back hard to bite them.
Well, that's why they put it in the contract. They say, hey, if you're offended, like, we do this, we joke about this, and that's why. The girl tweeted because the contract, it sounds ridiculous, but they want to know so people aren't suing them. That's the issue. If you don't write that in the contract for Barstool for working there, people are going to sue you for being offended. And now in the era that we live in, my God, everyone's offended by everything. And obviously the guy in charge has been a big part of that. And it's just we're not as unified as we should be, and people get offended over small things.
They need,
so we have to be more sensitive.
ESPN needed Barstool also. They needed a bit of their
ratings, and they want. I mean, ESPN is struggling, and why not bring in a show? It's not like they're degrading women on this show. I mean, it's
it was one
comedy
show.
Yeah,
one show.
And how like
And then they
would know what you have coming in. Don't sign them for one episode and be like, all right, we got to get rid of it.
First and foremost, I'm a fan. I can't say that I'm not. I just you know, some of that stuff they're doing, I feel like they're going to run into some problems at some point.
People were offended by, and I posted a snap yesterday that I found funny. It was like an orange or some, you know, when they do like a fruit or something and it says, is this pineapple trying to get the pipe? And like someone was offended by that, obviously playing off the J.R. Smith. He slid in someone's a girl's DM, said, you trying to get the pipe? It became a huge joke.
Oh, and I don't know that
you
one.
You never heard that? Oh, it's okay, from a couple years ago. And someone was offended that they blogged about a fruit trying to get the pipe. So I'll show you after this, but I snapped my rotisserie chicken. People are offended by a joke of a fruit that looks like it's a vagina, and people are offended by that. So if that's what you're offended by,
saying,
you need
like,
to get some help.
Because they have such a stranglehold on that demo that they have, you know, males, you know, 15 to 25, they could do better.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. They're not ready yet, but he always brags how it's 15 years in the making. You know, have a cool gay guy on the show that, you know, is that you know, have a African American guy.
Well, they
I mean,
did
if you're
hire
talking
a gay
about
guy,
sports.
A gay blogger.
Well, yeah. I will give them credit. The first time, that one jerky kid who shits on the Yankees all the time.
KFC.
He's like, honestly, I don't know all their names. Their nicknames
KFC's
are ridiculous.
The big Mets fan.
Yeah, and he's like the Yankees suck, this and that, and it's not they're not charming, they suck, they're the Yankees, they still spent this. But he did praise the fact that Playboy put a trans model in the issue this month, and he was actually like, she's hot, you know, it's cool, I think it's cool, and I was kind of like so surprised that he did that. That's all I'm saying, man. All that stuff's gonna come back, and even ESPN and Fox News and all these huge networks, they. You know, they've learned the hard way.
I mean, they're still doing their thing, though. I don't consider myself a stoolie, but I read Barstool almost every day, and they have the greatest Instagram videos. And they have people, Bills Mafia going through tables. They got just people in college doing funny things. Like just all
the videos
are awesome.
The fails are just epic. You know, when people are just gonna. You know,
although they
never,
they'll never credit the people. They rarely ever credit.
No, they do. I feel like they do.
And not Instagram videos. They almost never credit. They'll never say, like, from this person, which is, if I were to have a cool video and I sent it to them and didn't get credit, I'd be a little pissed. But the video ends up being great. And they're killing it with advertisers and everything. So honestly think they're going to have their own paid subscription potential TV channel.
Right.
I don't think they need ESPN.
Like, I thought, you know, if 45 didn't end up winning, that's what he was going to do anyhow. You know, he was going to start his own network, you know, with all these cast-offs you know, President 45, like, you know, he was, you know, that's where everything's going. Well, that might be where Francesa goes, too. Could he hold down a subscription base?
Yes, I think he'll do a podcast.
What would he need to do well?
As much as he's hated on podcasts. 100,000
a month, 200,000 a month. More.
Yeah, he would probably want six figures a month. I honestly think him and Mad Dog should do a once-a-week podcast, and it would have...
Shut it down.
It'd be the number one
show. They need to do it once, you know, like for a little bit to create like the dynamic and again and create like the need for it. But you think Mad Dog will come? Oh, but he just signed. He re-signed, right?
For a once-a-week podcast, if the price is right, I don't see why he wouldn't. But I think Francesa would do his own too. I think either
way.
What
do you think he's going to really do?
I think he's going to want – Francesa's one, he's going to take some time off. Maybe when it gets closer to football season, he'll be back into it next year. But I think he's going to do a podcast. I don't think he's going to do a radio show just because he's built for New York. And if he's not in the fan, there's nowhere else in New York to be on sports radio.
No.
So that's it.
Well, unless he's going to go on XM with, you know, Mad Dog.
Maybe I don't see him going to XM. He hates on podcasts, but I think the right company will come in and sponsors will flood to that show because he has so many. I mean, Mongo Nation is huge that people are going
to
listen.
It's huge, but is it as huge? Like, I remember talking to my MSG friends. I'm talking, like, you know, Barry, who just retired, like, number two at MSG. You know, the money to put a show on TV, like, for a simulcast, it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
It's not even worth it
anymore.
I don't
think he'll do TV.
You know? So, like, that's what you would think. Like, could he go to MSG and, you know, just do, like, a, you know,
he'll
syndicated...
do a podcast. He'll be in a studio. They'll have a Facebook Live. They'll have the sponsor on the Facebook Live. He'll have items around him that they're sponsoring that are paying to be seen on that. Just, people want to watch Francesa on video. I don't know. He's just funny to kind of watch. I don't know. Like, obviously, he had the fall asleep moment and stuff like that. But I'd say if I'm him, I'd do whatever.
Please
turn my mic on to please the camera. Like, if he's got to wear a Santa Claus outfit for money, I'd say he does
cash.
It.
No, like, one loves cash more than him. So he will definitely be back. And so who's going to get the slot?
That's, I mean, the morning show. In my opinion, the morning show is going to be either Evan and Boomer, or it's going to be Giannotti and Boomer. Record doesn't stand a chance. And then afternoon, I think it's going to be Evan and like.
Why does it
maybe.
Have to be another guy? Why can't it just be Boomer and crew and team?
No. No one will listen to the show. Boomer on his own is terrible. I mean, no one's listening to Boomer.
Yeah. I just think they need, they need a rock star in that spot. Yeah. Look, you know, say what you will. He's a dear friend of mine for many years, you know, and I think about him all the time and his family, and he's going through a lot right now. But Craig was awesome at his job.
It'll never be the same without Craig. I mean, he was so good, and it's tough. I mean,
it's unreal how good he was. I mean, even, you know, I would like wake up and like just turn it on and like kind of sit in bed for a little bit before the kid gets up and like, you know,
he'd wake you up.
Yeah, for years, like, you know, so.
I mean, we can't go into too many details.
603, nice going, Eddie Scazzeri.
Yeah, I mean, you can't meet Garin, and obviously I've seen Constantine at some of the TikTok stop events, and it's unfortunate because
the one thing I will say
can't be topped.
The show
Mike
can't
and the
be
Mad
topped,
Dogs, obviously, number
and
one.
People want to say what they want, but I've witnessed firsthand his charitable efforts go directly to people in need. And I've seen it firsthand, you know. So the camp is a fully functional camp that, you know, for years has sent, you know, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of kids, you know, fully paid, you know, for extended periods of time over the summer, giving them their parents a little break, giving these kids a break from them, some freedom, independence. I've seen it work. Mm-hmm. I've seen the doctors. I've met the doctors. And they've been working for years on things to improve, you know, ticks that are, you know, generated from Tourette's syndrome, you know, of both of his boys, I believe, suffer from that, and him. And so I know. And by the way, you think those golf tournaments are free? Bringing in all those huge stars, getting Trump national for a day.
That's a great golf course.
You know, it's not just free. So there's tons of expenses, and every charity has tons and tons and tons of expenses.
Open
and
bar
only
too,
gives back
class food.
A portion of, you know, what is actually raised goes directly into the bank, into the black, because there's so many expenses. So people want to talk, and they will, and it'll all come out.
And people want to say good riddance, stuff like that, and forget that the guy's got a family. And sure, if you think about the fact of, oh, why would he do this then with a family? But when you're in deep and that kind of issue, and gambling is serious, it's not the easiest thing to just come out of. So he was obviously at an issue, and we don't even know all the full details, so we say allegedly that this
we
happened.
Really don't. And you know, I've sort of, you know, I think we've said enough about that, but I feel like, you know, let's remember, definitely there's a beautiful family involved here.
Yeah, four
and
kids,
it's a tough situation, and we all miss him, and New York misses him. And you know, it's funny, I still love Boomer and Jerry and Al and those guys, and I hope to be back. They certainly don't talk about me anymore. They used to talk about me every day with Craig on the show. So I miss that. Maruculus is here still and alive for all you fan and Boomer Carton fans out there listening to Jake Brown. Jake Brown, the next Boomer and Carton.
I'd love to replace Carton. Hey, the fan, if you're listening, I would gladly take the role.
You got it.
That's everyone's dream, to be on the fan. And I read his book, and just coming from Buffalo to Cleveland to Denver to New Jersey to the fan, the guy, he made it as a full-time radio host, as I read through the book, younger than me. And he's kind of one of the guys that helped me like want to get in this industry. And the fact that at 23, 24, he was full-time in Buffalo, moved to Cleveland, moved to Denver, got ratings every time, and a similar guy to me, liked to party, liked women, liked a lavish lifestyle, and he loved to talk, and he loved talking about sports and joke around and make fun of people and do what his shtick, as people would say, and he was incredible at it. And
you get endorsements from, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, and everyone loves his actual humor too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy has also an awesome heart. And but his voice is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not forget, this is about the voice too.
Yeah.
You know, radio is the ultimate American Idol. You know, I mean, it's if you're not responding to the way someone sounds, you know, on the radio, their actual voice, like, you know, Malusis was doing his football show the other day and he's got an ex-Giant on there. I think you all know who he is, but he sounds like crap on the radio.
Yeah.
He's incredibly knowledgeable. He's a longtime pro, a real Jersey type of guy. Doesn't have the chops. Doesn't sound good.
I like Malusis, but he's not like a morning show, afternoon drive kind of guy.
But, you know, you listen to him and he's a pro on the radio.
Yeah,
he sounds
sure.
good on the radio. He's also really good on TV. It's funny. Craigie played me. I guess he wandered into the studio at one point. He played me where he crashed. Malusis was doing one of his last overnights. Just really, if maybe
Craig came on the show,
told
him
you
should be the overnight guy, and Malusis got offended.
He did. No, he just thinks that he's not. No, I think he said that.
I mean, I've had Malusis in here before.
He said he would never get the afternoon on his own.
Yeah, he said
he would never get that slot.
Was offended, I think.
Well, he knew that he wouldn't get it alone, and yes, he wants it, but he wouldn't get it alone. It takes a certain entertainment factor that a lot of these journalist, you know, producer turned on air guys, they lack too. There's mm-hmm. entertainment value in it too, and not just the knowledge, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, Joe Beningo, he's got great chops. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, some people get a little over it, but and you know, the sweater, you know, I grew up with him. I mean, the feedback on the radio makes me nuts when he's on, and it's just constantly feeding back the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
People must wonder what the heck that is. That's because he's got the monitors turned up so loud, it's feeding back into the microphone and over the signal, and it's just crazy. I just have to turn it off sometimes. It's literally feedbacking live on the radio, mm-hmm. like for minutes on. Like, how do they not know that? Anyway, it's kind of part of his thing now because he's so deaf. But the guy's awesome. I mean, I remember the first days of The Fan.
Yeah,
and that was, you know, not long after. You know, the Mets won the World Series. It was in and around that time.
Mike started off The Fan solo, and then they brought Mad Dog in, and
it became
the greatest sports radio show ever.
If I'm not mistaken, I used to sleep over at my neighbor's house. You know, he was the same age as me, so when the Mets, he would, you know, he was loving it, and I was hating it as a Yankee fan, but I was still involved because it was the World Series, and we were 10 years old. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like the bomb. The Mets used to be on that station. And then their after show was on that station, and then that station became essentially The Fan altogether, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when it really started as a 24-hour. It didn't used to be a 24-hour.
No,
thing,
it wasn't an all sports station. They changed it to that. And
but
once,
shortly after
and
that,
it struggled at first.
But
I
the
mean,
same station became the 24-hour station,
yeah,
if I remember,
because
it was like we didn't even change the dial. It was like the same, you know,
mm-hmm.
the same station then became The Fan. That the Mets used to be on with the big pre and post game, and that was a big deal.
And it's tough, New York, like me being from New York, trying to break in and get it, trying to get on WFN is like impossible. It's the number one sports radio station in the nation.
Right.
So we're kind of at a disadvantage coming from New York as me as trying to get in there, just because it's the cream of the crop, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Evan's
there's
been
a lot
doing
of good
since he was a kid.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people there. A lot of good.
Although I'll say some of the
voices.
Overnights track, like JJ's great, and JJ's gonna maybe be in the running for a midday show when Evan moves, John Dostremski. But like Tony Page, I mean, overnights, come on.
I mean, you know, classic. You know, sometimes it's still.
That's what inspires me.
Sometimes you just need it. Well, I hear you.
Like, he's very boring. I know it's a certain crowd overnight. It makes sense.
He's kind of got that dry kind of.
I would never listen to entire Tony. I used to work. I worked for 2 months at MLB overnights, and I could not listen to Tony Page for more than 10 minutes.
You listen long enough, you start to like him. That's what kind of happens, though. Chris, what's his name? Chris Young, Chris Moore.
Chris Moore.
Used to hate
bad.
Him. Now
he's
I like him.
Yeah.
His whole, like, I'm the
he's
most handsome.
He's kind of funny, though.
Yeah, yeah. And
he's
grown on me. So, mm-hmm. like, you start getting the timbre of their voice. You don't know what a lot of these guys look like, so you sort of just kind of, you know, they create this kind of, you know, sense memory thing in your brain, and then mm-hmm. you just, that's it. You know, when I'm coming home late night, that's all I listen to in the car. I don't even listen to music, so.
Yeah, Chris Moore is not the best looking guy.
Oh, let me see what he looks like. He sounds like a handsome man.
That's
he's
him.
Oh, he is not. Sorry.
He used to do a show with Brian Jones, Mojo, on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
So I used to manage CBS Sports Radio Digital.
Well, I know that Chris likes the Yanks, and but he's a little sarcastic about them, but at least he's a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Mike took down, on the way over, he was taking down this guy that was trying to say how much better Breeze is than Eli. And it's funny because, like, over their careers, I mean, you know, doesn't look like Breeze is ever going to end up getting another one. And he also played in a, you know, padded, you know,
Well, Breeze is more talented than Eli. Eli's got the titles. And Eli, I think, will be a Hall of Famer, honestly.
But Breeze, I really was hoping talented. That, you know, yeah, more raw talent, sure, but has, you know, he hasn't had a good team in many, 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 many years, you know. And, he, you know, he throws up the stats. And
well, they did win a Super Bowl.
Indoor.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they won one Super Bowl. But they were supposed to win four with that team.
Yeah, but they also didn't have a great defense. I mean, they were very just
light them up.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it was
work in the NFL today.
Remember that? Yeah. So, Giants had one of those shootout games with them one year, wasn't it? It was crazy. It was like 50-48 or something.
Yeah, that was recent.
You know, it's crazy when Eli gets on those rolls. But I love Eli. I mean, and say what you want, the luck or whatever. No way. I saw those passes. The pass down the. Down the line to Manningham. I mean, these, you know, the clutch stuff he's done over the years. I love Eli for sure. I don't want him to get killed, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like he might end up getting killed playing on this current
team.
Yeah,
I think they're going to change.
He doesn't even want, I mean, season. Like, the, you know, he can't, he covers up now. Like, you know, he's not, you know, he used to be able to get out of a couple of little things and then take a throw down the field. But, you know, I was hopeful for a minute because they had, like, you know, the rookie tight end, and they put, like, you know, a jumbo lineup out there, and I was loving, like, the three tight ends, you know, one wide out, maybe a running back, you know, going big like that. I was like, maybe there's a way to win some games like mm-hmm. this. But then you're like, yeah, no, that's
didn't
not going to
work.
Yeah. But anyway, we've babbled
we
long enough.
We got to wrap up. My mom actually said, love you, Constantine. I
Hi, Mommy.
On the, video.
The moms love me.
Bulldozer coming November 24th
that's
off
right.
Broadway. New single, All About You, coming back to SiriusXM, Spotify, iTunes, all that jazz. And Guam on New Year's. So you're traveling the world. We're going to try to call a friend. And
oh,
see if they
that's
pick
right.
Up.
I forgot about that.
That'll be on the audio. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Spotify if you're watching on Facebook Live, because you'll hear that there. Constantine Maroulis, appreciate you coming on the Jake Brown Show, co-hosting a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's got Astros in six. I got Dodgers in seven. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this part of the show. Subscribe, follow. Peace.
Peace, y'all. Thank you.